We've been involved in a series that is called Teach Us to Pray. And what we've been doing is looking at a number of psalms and some of the themes of those psalms that are brought up. Last week, Anthony talked about the whole idea of lament from Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? And he talked about lament being as the idea that we've been forgotten or we've been attacked. Where are you, O God? And this week, we're going to be talking about blessing from Psalm 67. And blessing talks about being valued, talks about being protected. Lament is like a sigh of sadness and despair. But blessing is all about a sigh of contentment and satisfaction. Where there's hopelessness and despair for lament, there's hope and expectation for those who are blessed. For lament says, I can't make sense of the world. What is happening to me? But in blessing, we say that everything is supposed to be the way it was intended to be. And not because of me, but because of what God has done in my life. And so we're blessed as a result of that. So we're going to turn to Psalm 67 in just a second, but let me make a couple of quick observations about the psalm. The first is it's a very short psalm. But it's a psalm that you're probably going to hear very frequently at missions conferences. And the reason is because the psalm is about God's good news being spread throughout the world, his blessing being spread throughout the world, so that all the world might praise him, no matter where you are in the world. It's great that we had Robert with us this morning to talk about how the church is bringing blessing to people here in the metropolitan area. And God wants us to even look beyond all of that and share his blessings with the rest of the world. And we'll talk a little bit about how that happens. The second thing about the psalm is that even though it's a short psalm that we read in English, it's a poem in Hebrew, and you can sort of get that sense that it is a poem even in English. So, for instance, the first two verses, 1 and 2, and the ending verses in verses 6 and 7 actually have very similar content to one another. And then you have verses 3 and 5 that are exactly the same. They're identical. And then you have verse 4 that talks about what God does for his people as he blesses them. So it's good for us to take a little bit of time to consider this psalm. And let's do that now as we read it. So you can follow along in your Bible or up on the screen or on your device or wherever. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So as we look at this psalm, we're going to look at four different things together. And the first, I know that's not right for a three-point sermon, but we're adding one because we're talking about blessing. It adds blessing to you today. So first, what is the blessing we pray for? What is it that we're really getting when God blesses us? The second is, why is blessing absent? Why is it that sometimes we as Christians who should be blessed aren't or don't feel that way? How does that happen? The third one is, why does God bless us? What is the purpose behind the blessing that God gives us? And then the final point is, how does blessing come? How does God work it out so that we are blessed? So let's start at the beginning here. What is blessing? You know, if you hear the word blessing or blessed, usually you think of it in terms of a sneeze, first of all. It's a very religious word, you know. So you hear it as a sneeze, or you hear it as something that a preacher does before the wedding dinner takes place. They give a blessing. If you listen to people who are people of faith and you hear the word, I am blessed or I've been blessed, and you assume right away that they really are religious people because they say that, because a secular society doesn't really say that. We can never say, I bless myself. God is the one that does it. A thief doesn't go and rob his neighbor's house and say, I blessed myself. That's just not something that happens. Sometimes Scripture tells us to bless the Lord. And what it's talking about there is it's talking about us simply praising the Lord, or more literally, to bow the knee to the Lord. But as God speaks his blessing over us, his blessing has power. When God speaks his blessing, it changes the world. When God speaks his blessing, it changes our lives. So let's begin here with verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. This is a pretty clear reference to the priestly benediction that was given to the Israelites in the wilderness as they settled down each night in the desert. We find that in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And what that benediction reminds us of is that God cares for us. He keeps his eyes on us. You can see in these verses that he's actually facing the Israelites, trying to protect them from anything that could go wrong. In fact, his face is described as shining with his favor. He loves them. He cares for them. He has his fatherly concern for them. And the Israelites actually saw that in the wilderness. So when they were traveling through the wilderness, God provided bread for them from heaven in the manna. He provided water for them in the desert from the rock. And later on, they testified to the fact that even though they were 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes never wore out and their sandals never wore out. And Moses, as they're just about ready to enter the promised land from the wilderness, also told them that God would continue to bless them in the land if they stayed faithful to him. And so he says this, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. They shall revere you. They'll see you as different than themselves. Now, if you think about it, and you live in a farming community, is there anything better than the blessing that Moses talks about here? What you want is for your flocks to have many young. You want them to grow. When you plant seed in the ground, you want the seed to multiply and grow and have more than you need for the year that you're looking forward to. And you want God to give you as many children as possible so that they can get out there and sow the seed, and so they can harvest the plentiful harvest that comes at the end. These were all signs of God's blessing for his people. So what are the signs of blessing for us today? Well, some might say that our children happily and eagerly do their homework and go to bed on time. I mean, that is a blessing, right? To have a house at the beach, or a house in the mountains, or maybe to have the latest gadget. Those would be great blessings. But we sense that what the Bible's talking about is something far deeper than all of this. Maybe to see every child have a loving home in the world. Maybe to live in a place where people truly love one another and come to the aid of each other whenever there is need, no matter what that particular need is. Maybe to be in a place where people are generous with their time, their affections, their money, their talents and resources. And what we find in the Scripture is that blessing is really being in God's presence. To be blessed is to have a heart that beats after God and to know and be assured that God's heart beats for you, that he watches over you, cares for you, protects you. We know that he loves us so much in Jesus Christ that not even death can separate us from His presence. Blessing is God's presence in our lives. It gives us true life, protects us during our lives, and it walks us right through death itself into God's presence forever. So if we are believers, why doesn't it seem time that we sometimes feel that we're blessed? Why do we feel an absence of blessing in our lives? Well, I'm a glass half empty kind of guy. So I'm more likely to notice the things that don't seem to be right with the world, things that go wrong. And I have to remind myself of all the things that God has done for me in His Word and through His Spirit in my life. And so sometimes it's simply that. Sometimes it's because we've decided the way that God should bless us. And if He doesn't bless us that way, we think that we're not being blessed, when in fact we really are. And sometimes it's simply the fact that we live in a world that is base is separated from God, and we're experiencing the fallout from that. There's disease. There's disaster. There's fighting and division, both internationally and nationally and on the local level, even in our neighborhoods. We shouldn't think that blessing guarantees us a life without trouble. Jesus says to His disciples, "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the persecuted." And Jesus Himself is a person that should have been blessed more than anyone else, and yet He goes through all kinds of trials, is tortured and cursed and persecuted and then hung on the cross. So all of this, what this shows is that really blessing happens in a world that is really separated from God at base. The account of Adam and Eve helped us understand how this world has become separated. When Adam and Eve chose to go their own way apart from God and eat the forbidden fruit and experience the curse, or the word is separation from God. Let's read what happened to them after God, after their disobedience. "To the woman He said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you.' And to Adam He said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" When you think of it, is there anything that has more potential to bring us pain in our lives than something going wrong with our children or something going wrong with another family member? And that's what happens when we are separated from God. Or the description that is given of the ground for Adam as he tills it is a picture of subsistence farming. He's just trying to scratch out a living. He's just trying to eke it out of the ground that's there, hoping that they can get by. The consequence of Adam and Eve's sin is that they were expelled from the garden, where they actually walked with God in the cool of the evening. And now they're led outside of that garden. And when the Israelites come along later, they are actually exiled from their place where God's presence is in His temple, because they followed other gods and were separated from Him. We all know how vulnerable we are in this world, especially if we're alone. One downswing of the economy, one storm. Even the great advances in the world, such as the technological advances, the scientific advances, the medical advances, which should be blessings for us, which should help us to live lives that are blessed, can be turned to curses. Drugs that were supposed to bring us freedom from pain can lead us to addiction and then on to death. Or social media that was supposed to help us in our relationships to connect with other people can bring about bullying and depression. The world is separated from God, and we suffer the consequences from that, and we feel that in our lives. So living under God's blessing is truly exceptional because it isn't the way the world normally works. It's for those who live in the presence of the Lord. A prayer for blessings is a prayer against curses' dominion. It's a prayer for God to do something extraordinary in a world that doesn't operate that way. And so we pray with the psalmist, may God bless us. So why does God bless us? The first couple of verses, 67, give us a clue. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. When God blesses us, he saves us from the curse. Instead of the futility and frustration of separation, God brings about fruitfulness and thriving under his protection. And when others see us blessed, they are attracted to us. They see the blessing that God gives, and that gives them a reason to inquire about what's going on. I know when we lived in Amsterdam, God's blessing in our lives in terms of providing a community in the church was greatly attractive. Because while we were there, there are enormous numbers of people in the Netherlands that can survive and live on their own because of the government subsidies that they supply. And so there's a huge percentage of the population that lives alone. But those people don't have a place to belong. They don't have a place for other people to share their lives with them. And so as they saw the church, they saw it as a place where they could find safety, where they belonged, where they were valued. And through the blessing of God's people, the world gains knowledge about God, not just about who he is empirically, but in the way that he relates to us personally so that we can have a relationship with him. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. Now, probably the author has in mind the promise God gave to Abraham as he made his covenant with him. We read about that in Genesis. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Ultimately, Adam's descendants became the nation of Israel. And out of the nation of Israel came Jesus, who was the Savior, to set us free from the curse of separation from God. So the promise that was given to Abraham leads to our blessing, to the blessings of the earth. In fact, the psalmist declares all the nations, all the peoples will bless God, will praise him. They will have cause to praise him because of Jesus. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you. O God, let all the peoples praise you. The nations are glad because God governs justly. In fact, the word up there for judge could be just as easily translated govern. So God governs his people, and as a result of that, there's equity, there's justice, and then God guides them. He shows them the way to go to be blessed so that all the peoples might be blessed as a result of that. International Justice Mission, which we've had here a couple of times at New Life, is a mission that provides legal guidance and resources to places in the world where there is corruption and where people are taken advantage of, oppression. One of the things that they say is that the greatest reason for poverty today is lawlessness. And so they're providing that assistance so that those that are breaking the law are actually punished for that, so that there's justice. And what they found is that when that happens, people who have been enslaved are set free. People who have been trafficked are no longer trafficked anymore. And as it brings stability and justice to the community or the neighborhood, wherever they're working, they start to see businesses thriving because the corruption's no longer there. And so by doing that, they're actually imitating God's justice on the earth. And people see that, and they're attracted by that, and as a result, they begin to hear and see the blessings of Jesus and want that for themselves. And there are other groups that are doing the same thing, that are showing the way that God governs in the way that they carry out business. The vision of God's blessing is that all peoples everywhere would come under the benevolence of God, and that there would be just and benevolent law for everyone. God's blessing is always intended to be bigger than for ourselves, for our own enjoyment. It's for others. A number of years ago, there was a book published that was called The Prayer of Jabez. It was very popular among Christians, and it referred to this particular verse, which is one you really have to search for in 1 Chronicles. In fact, you really have to look for it even when you're looking for it, because it's not easily seen. But this is what it says. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, anything I'm about ready to say, I want to tell you that I've never read the book. Okay, so I'm not critiquing the book. I don't really know what the book says. But when I look at this verse and I think of America, I think of, aren't these exactly the kinds of things that we want to pray for in America? We want our material wealth to grow, and we don't want any pain for our lives. And I think to myself, well, what does my prayer life, what is it mostly about? And when I look at the buckets of interceding for other people or for the nations, or as Robert talked about, interceding for the church planters here, what are the things that I'm praying for? I'm realizing that I never skip a day when I'm not praying for my children or for other people, and I want God to bless them. I want them to thrive, mainly because I don't want them to move back home with me again. But I also don't want them to experience pain in their lives, and these are things that are important to me. But Psalm 67 challenges me to look far beyond that, to begin praying for my community, my area, to be looking beyond even our church here and our church's work, to begin to look to the rest of the world where there is so much suffering going on, so much separation from God. Is blessing only for worldly comfort, abundance, and security, or is blessing for the world's comfort, the world's abundance, the world's security, the world's relationship with Christ? What the psalmist longs for is a world where God's blessing encompasses all nations and peoples, where God reigns and people are treated fairly and enabled to be who God wants them to be because he is just. In short, this psalmist is praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want to have this same kind of perspective in my life, but it's countercultural. We build all kinds of walls that prevent this from happening in our world. We become separated from each other. In fact, we tend to separate people out from one another. So you look at the divisions. People look different from one another when we separate them and think of them differently because of the color of their skin, or because of the language that they speak, or because of the country they come from, or because they're well-educated, they're not well-educated, because they're wealthy or they're not wealthy, because they're disabled, or any one of so many other things. But the longing of the psalm is that God's blessing will lead people everywhere to come under his protection, to know him, to be guided by him, and thus to receive everything he has to offer for them. And then we shall all praise him together. If we share this perspective with the author, we'll start to understand how important it is to spread the good news of Christ around the world. We're going to send a team to Kenya. It's important for us to do that because it helps remind us that there are people in the world that don't know God's blessings in our lives, and we can assist the church there. Or we've sent people to North Africa, or we have people who've gone to the Ukraine, or we have all kinds of people that we have sent out because of this need to see God's blessing established in other places in the world. This perspective helps us to see people as God sees them. Instead of seeing them as people we need to be protected from, we see them as people that need to hear and receive the blessings of God. Like Jesus, who touches the immoral, who touches the unclean and heals them, who mixed with Jews and Gentiles and sinners and tax collectors and invited them into the kingdom of God. This psalm calls us to view other people differently, as those who were meant, who were intended to live under the blessing of Christ. But then how does blessing come? Well, the answer is that blessing comes through the one who takes away the curse of separation. Through Jesus, he takes the curse of separation away by taking it upon himself and dying on the cross and experiencing even the abandonment of his Father. Galatians 3 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus' death answers the demands of the curse of death for us, that we might experience life within us. When he dies for us, the curse no longer has power to overcome us, not even in death itself. It's by trusting Jesus for our lives that we come under his protection and receive his blessing. So if you're here this morning and you haven't considered what Jesus can do for you, or maybe you've heard about it but need to investigate it, I want to encourage you to continue in that investigation, to talk with somebody about that, to talk about whatever questions or doubts that you have, so that you might hear about this God that blesses, that brings people into relationship with him and protects them. Psalm 67 is not yet fulfilled. It's not that all the nations praise God yet. We experience in the blessing of Jesus' presence, and that continues into eternity. But for now, we still live in a world that struggles with separation from God. So Psalm 67 is a prayer of longing for the time yet to come, and yet remembers that we need to look to the past so that we can be assured for the future. And so Psalm 67, verse 6 says, the earth has yielded its increase, to remind themselves that God has already given us a down payment, a deposit on what is yet to come. Just as Paul talks about in the New Testament, that the Spirit is given to us as a deposit of his kingdom, which is yet to come. And so we can be assured that God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And Paul captures a vision of this in the New Testament, because he says that as God is known, and as people begin to come to him and fall under his blessing, there will come a time when he returns. And when he returns, everyone will recognize him and praise him for who he is. And so we read this prayer from Paul, this actually commendation from Paul, where he says, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the day that we long for, when blessing will be fulfilled. Let's join together in a word of prayer. Father, in this world that we live in now, we recognize that not everything is as it was intended to be. But we thank you, Father, for the ways that you have given us your presence in your Spirit, for the ways that we have recognized that Jesus is taking away the curse from us. Father, we pray that would be truer more and more throughout the world, And Lord, we look forward to that day when Jesus will establish his kingdom and all people everywhere, all the nations, all the peoples will bow before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.